into affairs. We know that God is interested in you and I affairs. Amen. Because God himself is the God of affairs. He sowed one seed, and guess how much he reaped? Billions of seed. Through the seed of Jesus, billions, you and I, it's through that seed of Jesus that you and I came to know this God whom we serve. Amen. So God is God of harvest, and he knows the seed, he knows the power of seed. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We've learned that God is interested in us harvesting. And we've learned that God established seasons and time. There's time to plant, there's time to reap. Amen. For instance, by God's grace, right from the second day of this of the month of January this year, our GO declared time of sowing in prayer, in fasting, amen, in seeking the face of God. And I mean, I don't know how many will join me in faith that you cannot do that without harvesting. Yes. Amen. You cannot go fasting and praying and seeking God without doing what? Without harvesting. Because it's a God who answers prayer. It's a God when he speaks a thing, better go and underline what he speaks. Because what he speaks are yea and are amen. Just like his nature. He is yea, he is amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So I believe that we know about harvest, and I'm not going to dwell in harvest, telling you about harvest today. But what I'm going to dwell on, and what I call this topic, is beware of harvest destroyer. Beware of harvest destroyer. Amen. I don't know how many of us follow the Bible passage. It was a story of a man who sowed. And the Bible says when he sowed, he harvested a lot. Amen. The harvest was so big, and it was one who said, wow, what a great harvest. And I'm sure many, he may have compared his harvest with other people because he was not just the only farmer in that community. There may have been other farmers who sowed. They may have even sowed better seed or bigger seed than what he sowed. Amen. But the Bible says he reaped a great harvest. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. But there are some harvest destroyers, which we are going to consider few of them today. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. In the life of this man, when he reaped the harvest, if you read that passage again, you will see that instead of him giving the glory to the person, to the being, to the God who made the harvest possible, what was he doing? He thought he was the only one. He thought he was the one who made it for himself. He thought the water, the sun that came upon the seed he sowed, and the seed grew and blossomed and produced it. He thought that that was, wow, the premium fertilizer that he applied to that seed. The fasting he did, if I may use that word, the prayer he did, the laboring he did. I mean, I fasted like no man business. I prayed like no man business. He thought that that was it. And he was ascribing the glory unto himself. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So the first enemy I got here, I call the name of the enemy Mr. Pride. Let somebody say Mr. Pride. You better say it like you mean it. Let me ask us, who planted the seed that this man planted? No, it wasn't God. Please follow me. Who planted the seed? It is him. It is him that planted that seed. Amen. It was him who planted the seed. But who brought the increase? Amen. He planted the seed. Fine. But who made that seed to germinate? Who made the increase of the seed to grow? Who made the increase to actually bear another harvest? Amen. And who should get the glory? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And if you want to bring that hint to you and I, you say, well, it is the story of that man alone. Maybe I don't know what you have achieved, and I know at least you and I may have achieved one thing or the other. And many a time we thought, wow, what a brilliant child, what a brilliant guy, what a brilliant lady I am to be able to achieve this, instead of attributing the glory unto God. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. How many are things we have achieved and we thought, wow, what an intelligent person I was, just like that man. He thought he was intelligent farmer. How many are things we have achieved and we thought, oh, it is the way I strategize it. Others are following right and I said, no, I'm not going to follow right, I'm going to follow left. And see, wow, I've now achieved. How many are things we have done and we thought we strategize why? How many are things we have done and we thought it is our own strength and it is our own power? Amen. How many are things we have achieved in life and we thought, wow, yeah, it's just me. I pray God will help us. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Many a times we feel we are like this man. Instead of us giving the glory to God of harvest,
Instead of us giving the glory to God, who help us? Even if you say, well, you are a person that prays, a person who fasts, who give you the grace? It is still God. The effort that you and I actually put in, it is God who supply that strength. It is God who supply the grace. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Can I ask you the same question, even for yourself? Who planted you in your mother's womb? Can you answer me, please?
No.
Who made you to grow up?
No.
Who saved your soul?
No.
Who made you to even be able to sow seed?
No.
Amen. Who made your feet to grow?
No.
Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. No. Who made you to achieve in life?
No.
Who keep you alive?
No.
There's a saying where I came from. They say it's only the person who is alive that will be able to achieve. Amen. If you are not dead, people they can't achieve anything because it's ended for them. So even for you and I to be able to achieve, who keep us alive, it is God. If you are married, who make you to get that new spouse of yours?
God.
If you are not yet married, who keep you alive for that spouse of yours coming?
God.
It is God. Amen. Then let me ask us, who should be thanked?
God.
Who should be glorified?
God.
Who the praises, who deserve the praises?
God.
It's only God. And that's why you and I, we need to be very, very careful. In John 3:27, the Bible says, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. Nothing you and I can achieve in life. Nothing you and I can receive can get in life unless God himself releases it. So whatever you may have achieved, no matter the title, the world system they have given you, know that it is by God's grace. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So the first enemy of affairs, or even enjoying the affairs, is called Mr. Pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before the fall. If you want to see a man or a woman that wants to fall, you'll be a very proud man or a very proud woman. And before you know it, you see somebody who is exalting himself or herself on the floor. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
John 15:5, Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, I am your source. I am your strength. I am your power. And without me, you can do nothing. Without him, we can achieve nothing. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So pride, as we saw in the life of this man, instead of giving the glory to God, he was giving himself praise. He was saying, wow, this is what I've achieved. Pride can be a harvest destroyer. How many times pride comes softly? Pride comes what? Softly. It comes just without you noticing. By God's grace, I thought I was a humble man until I got married years ago. There was this habit in my life that it takes my wife to point it out, and I realize that, wow, I need to deal with that. Before I got married, you never give me a thing, and I use it. Whether you give me anything, whatever, I dash it out. I give it out. Well, just take it, put it somewhere. Until my wife begin to, realize these traits in my life. And she called me one day, I said, don't you think that it's a pride? You thought that nobody can bless you? No man's ego. I thought, I said, what do you mean? I can use whatever people give to me, and the one I don't want to use, I don't want to use. But later, I cannot think of this. Amen? But what is making me to give? What people bless me out of their hearts. Why am I giving it out? Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. And since then, I've made a correction. So if you are giving me things in the past 15 years, know fully that I'm using it. Amen? And I do pray for you for that. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our father in the Lord told us a story of how God told him to go to the beach side. And he said when he got to the beach side, he said God told him to draw on the ground. And he said he draw on the ground. And he said God told him to wipe that drawing with his own feet. And he said he did that. He said after God told him that is how I'm going to make you. Anytime you allow pride in your life, anytime you exalt yourself, anytime you talk, you are now a big man. And just as you did to that son, that's how I'm going to do to you. I pray God will help us.
Amen.
So we need to deal with Mr. Pride. Maybe you need to actually tell that to your neighbor. Deal with Mr. Pride. Or tell it to yourself. Deal with Mr. Pride. Amen. I pray God will help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. The second enemy of affairs that we saw in that passage is called Mr. Greed. Mr. what?
Mr.
Greed. In Luke chapter 12, verse 18, the Bible says, the man said, I am now going to tear down all my barns, underline barns, He didn't just have one single barn. He had barns. He had what? Barns. I'm going to do what? Tear them up. What am I going to do? I'm going to build a gigantic one. The one that they will say and they will buy. Amen. They will see that now I have a life. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to build a gigantic barn. The one in town. One that is incomparable to others is what I'm going to be. I kind of want to know more about greed, and I research a bit in the dictionary. Dictionary called greed cupidity. I've never heard that word before, but it's called cupidity or covetousness. In other words, it's never enough. It's more, more, more. Amen. Do we remember a story of somebody who want more, 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 and at the end of it, say all is vanity. Solomon, he said he satisfied himself with anything I can see. Women, houses, gold, anything eyes can see that I desire, I want it. And he got them all. But at the end of the day, he said, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. So the man said, I'm going to tear down the barns I built, and I'm going to build gigantic, more bigger one. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. It's not, let me share a little bit of what God has blessed me with. It's not, let me remember, those farmers, maybe their own crops didn't come out like mine came out. It's not, let me just remember those, aspiring farmers who actually want to have farms like mine. Let me actually sow some seed into them so that they themselves can be able to do what? To sow seed. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That story seems far off, isn't it? But we can bring it home. If I can ask you that before you buy that latest Prada, amen, before you buy that latest Givenchy, many of you don't know that I know those, eh? Louis Vuitton, I don't know whether I call it right, or the latest Calvin Klein. We're talking about cars, talking about Porsche, DM, Mercedes, whatever, amen, Lamborghini. Rolls Royce. Amen. We all know them. Before I purchased that, have I considered the poor girl back in Africa? That all he or she needs is just a single or twice meal in a day. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Have I considered the poor in my nation? Don't you think that there are poor people in this nation? Amen. Have I considered the poor in my family? Many of us got here and we forget about home. At least I can say one or two people who actually forgot their parents. Yes, I know many a time we struggle here, but no matter your struggle, please, I beg of you, don't ever neglect your people at home. Don't ever neglect your parents, because anybody who actually does that, one is bringing curses upon his or her life. Amen. I gave you a testimony of how God used me, I believe, to build a house for my mom, which was completed last November, October. And since then, each time I talk to Mama, if you see the rain of prayer, that, and I can say the difference in her voice. Amen. When I talk to her, she doesn't even have malaria anymore. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise Jesus. Because why? She's happy. Amen. So God can use you and I to put smile on somebody's faces. In somebody's mouth, back in Africa, back in Asia, here in United Kingdom, here in this church. Amen. Don't you think there are some one or two of our brothers who may need our help? I pray God will help us. I feel tempted to kind of advertise BBC. I don't know how many of us know BBC. Amen. It's called Beloved Brethren Club. It's a small helping organization within the church that help others. If you feel free, if God minister to you to join us, please see Sister Ade, who is our able secretary and treasurer. She will direct you how you can be part of it. But what am I saying is that God bless us to bless somebody. Amen. And Jesus Christ says, unless the seed of the corn fall into the ground, it cannot germinate. Unless you let go, it may not come. And the Bible says there are some who sow, who kind of scatter. And instead of them to be lacking, they are increasing. Because that is the principle. When you sow, you reap. And when you don't sow, you don't reap. I pray God will help us. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. In Proverbs 19:17, the Bible says, he who gives to the poor lends to God. When you give to the poor, you do what? You lend to God. In Matthew 25, verse 35 to 40, Jesus Christ was saying to people, say, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And he said, Jesus, we did not even see you face to face. When were you hungry that we fed you? When were you naked? He said, as long as you do it to any of these ones, you are doing it to me. Amen. You see, how do we really know we love God? How do we know we love God? The love God we cannot see. How we know we love God who cannot see is how we relate to the person who we can see. Amen. The way you relate to your brothers, the way you relate to your sister. You relate to them with love, then you love God who make them. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So we need to not to be great, and we need to let go, we need to sow. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. The third enemy of affairs, I call it Mr. Self-centeredness. Mr. Self-centeredness. If you read that story, it's all about I, and I alone. Nothing about my family, nothing about my community, nothing about my church, nothing about my nation. It's all about what? All about I. I'm going to tear it down. I'm going to build more. I'm going to sit down and begin to enjoy for the rest of my life unto eternity. It's all about I, and I. You see, Christianity is not about all about self-centeredness. Actually, that is where God delivered you and I. Before you and I don't know about you. I know many of you are born saints. Amen? But I was once in the world. I was once, don't know, but I was once going to church just for going sake. Amen? And it's about how I can achieve. It's about how I can enjoy myself. It's about how I can satisfy myself. Amen? But when God saved me, and I believe when God saved you as well, that focus shifted. It's not about how to satisfy God. It's not about how to serve others. It's not about how to bless the life of others. Because that's why we are saved. We are saved to serve. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So if your thought, your focus is all about you and you and you alone, one has to examine himself or herself. So Mr. Self-centeredness is an enemy of affects, and you need to be careful about it. So, and it is about pride. You see, this thing, they link together. People who want to satisfy themselves, it's come out of pride. In other words, I deserve it. They don't deserve it. I deserve to enjoy. I deserve to be treated. I deserve this thing, or they don't deserve it. It's all about my own welfare. It's all about how I feel, not how others feel. Others can go to places as long as I'm satisfied. We need to be very, very careful. I pray God will help us in the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 to 13 says, we should prefer one another. In other words, you and I, we are in challenges, we are in problems. If I thought God opened a way for me, I should help you. Amen. If I thought God showed me the way, I should let you know. Even the little that God gives to me, I should share with you. We should do what? Prefer the welfare of others, of your brethren, unto yourself. And you say, if you ask me, say, Benjamin, what about me? What about my own? God is able to take care of you. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And just as the Bible says, when you give to the poor, you are lending to God. So do you think God can hold you? Has he ever held anybody before? No. So when you're actually helping others, guess who is helping you? God is helping you. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So it's beneficial to you and I to actually help others. Amen. So that God himself can do what? Can help us. Amen. And in that verse, he said we should share. We need to know how to share. I pray God will help us. In Jesus' name. Another enemy of our affairs, I call it Mr. Anger. Mr. Anger, number four. Mr. What?
Anger.
Amen. Anger is defined as an intense emotional response when one basic boundaries are violated. When you thought somebody has violated your boundary, when you thought somebody has stepped on your toe and you want to rise and defend yourself, you want to rise and fight. You want to rise and tell them and put them in their position. Tell them they are small boys or they are small girls to you. Praise God. You see, what leads to anger many a times is actually pride. Because your ego is suppressed. The people want to, make you a small boy, whereas you are a big lady, a big guy. And this can lead, pride can lead to self-centeredness. And self-centeredness can lead to anger. Amen. Because everything is about you, and those people want to deny you of what you thought belongs to you, and that can lead to anger. Amen. I want to be careful here. There are two types of anger. All anger is not all anger that are bad. Amen. There are two types of anger. There's something we call holy anger. Amen. Christians don't get angry. Don't let's not just say be holier than that. Amen. Christians does what? Get angry. But the Bible says when we get angry, we should know what? We should say not. And holy anger is some anger that are directed against unholiness. Amen. For instance, you see somebody ridiculing your God. You see somebody kind of wanting to ridicule your God, don't talk to your God. So there must be a holy anger in the me in the life of a born-again child of God. Say, wow, no, you cannot ridicule my God. What happened to David? Against Goliath. It wasn't the because Goliath is so big or they have been conquering them for a long, long time. No, there's something that triggered him. How can this uncircumcised Philistine? Amen. He's uncircumcised, he's Philistine. Amen. Be talking to God of Israel, God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob. In this, I'm going to confront him. That is what I call holy anger. Amen. A anger that came out because what? You know that this person or this thing that they are doing is against your God. It's against my God. And that happens in the life of Jesus Christ as well. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, Jesus Christ went into the temple. And the temple, the Bible says, the temple of God shall be called house of prayer. But people are coming with their wares, with their latest shoes, with their latest wares. And instead of praying in the household of God, what were they doing? Selling and buying. They were actually going to church as going to market. And Jesus Christ got there and said, wow, what is happening here? This is supposed to be the house of God. This is supposed to be the house of prayer. And out of holy anger, what did Jesus Christ do? The Bible says he drove them out. Not only did he drove them out, he overturned their table. That is called holy anger. So holy anger is allowed. Maybe you need to tell your neighbor that holy anger is allowed. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And there's another one called unholy anger. Amen. There's some other anger called what? Unholy anger. And many a times, unfortunately enough, many a times that's the anger that we Christians display. Amen. We don't care whether God is ridiculed. We don't care whether God is blasphemed. Amen. We kind of say, well, God understand. We can't wear that in system, political correctness. We let go. But it's the unholy one. The one that says, well, again, that's, I'm going to show that sister. I'm going to tell you. So because we belong to one the same church, he taught me and her. We are in the same class. I will show her. I will put her in the class that she belongs. I've spoken to people that say, well, that situation is not going to be settled in this life. We will settle in heaven. Amen. So that's for them. No. It's when we get to God. And my point is, are you sure you're going to get to God? Amen. Is this anger God not going to hinder you from actually getting to where you thought you're going to get to? Amen. Because we need to deal. The Bible just says we need to deal with all forces, little forces that spoil the vine. Amen. We need to deal with it before we can be able to actually approach the throne of God. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 2, Israelites, you know their story. God told Moses, go to Egypt. Go and deliver my people. I have prepared a place for them to inherit and to enjoy. Canaan land, we call it. The land that flows with meat and honey. For out of grumbling, day and night, out of anger, immediately they see any challenges, oh, here we are again. Moses has brought us here to kill us. Amen. And you know, the more they ridicule Moses, who are they ridiculing? God. Who sent Moses? God. So when you talk Moses down, who are you talking now? God. And that's why God said, well, I'm evil. There was a particular time that God said, I'm going to kill all of them. Moses, I will produce a new Israelite out of you. Amen. And the same Moses that they were grumbling against, I said, God, what will people say? The Moabites, even the Egyptians. They said God just put them in the wilderness to kill them. And God repented of what he wanted to do to them. But because the grumbling and the anger of these people continue, God said, well, what I'm going to do? The elder ones. The one who's supposed to know their left from the right. The one who saw the 10 plagues I did to the Egyptians. The one who saw how the Red Sea parted without any instrument. The one who saw how I separated them from their enemy with fire during the night, and with cloud during the day. Those ones who saw the work of my hand, they don't glorify me. Those ones who saw the work of my hand, yet they still grumble day and night. They will not see the now. And even some of them say, we are here to that. And God, yeah, amen to that. We are here to that. And I make sure that all of you, two of them only, from people that left Egypt, got to the Canaan land. So unholy hunger could be a destroyer. And it's an enemy of Africa. I pray God will help us. What about the leader as well? Moses. God called him. The way God called him, he saw a burning bush. The bush was burning. The leaf did not consume. God told him, perform a lot of wonders. Put your rod down, became snake. Pick it up again, became a rod. His own rod, the snake that the rod of his became, swallowed the rod.